Space Cowboy Books presents Simultaneous Times Supplementary Log. Interviews with the authors and musicians that make Simultaneous Times podcast possible. You've heard the stories and the music. Now hear the stories behind the stories.
Welcome to Simultaneous Times Supplementary Log, an interview with Julie Carpenter. Composer Julie Carpenter packed up the dog and husband and moved to the desert after their car broke down in Palm Springs on a balmy July day, when they decided it was just the change they needed from chilly Los Angeles. Here, she continues to make music with her project Les Bells, which blends orchestral and electronic elements to make something as confusing as possible. Somehow, she has been persuaded to write very, very sad stories set in the future. What was your first experience with science fiction, and what inspired you to first create work in the genre?
So, I think the earliest, most formative piece of fiction that I encountered was actually The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy text game for the Apple II. For our younger listeners, or perhaps for older listeners who had friends and went outside, in the 80s there were a lot of text-based computer games that were little adventures that you would have, but you'd have to make all your choices via text, because that's all we had, little green flashy text. And that was really formative to me because it was this really offbeat sense of humor and just these wild characters, and I was much too young to understand most of what was going on. But it really sparked something in my brain that prepared me later when I found Douglas Adams and found all his writing, that I just was in love. And it just set me off on this path of BBC sci-fi and humorous sci-fi like Kurt Vonnegut, Philip K. Dick, these things. That's what set me on the path initially.
Aside from what you just mentioned, what are some of your favorite science fiction books, films, or music?
So I'm a little fickle, so my list tends to be whatever I've been reading most recently. My new favorite is Roadside Picnic by the Strugatsky brothers. They're Russian brothers. It was written in the 1970s, and I think it's one of the most interesting takes on first contact that I've ever come across. It just feels so realistic and so unlike any other first contact story. I don't want to spoil too much, but I would highly recommend it for anyone who's interested in alien stories. I think it's a really, really interesting take. Left Hand of Darkness by Ursula K. Le Guin. That's definitely in the top because of her ability to question every assumption that we make about ourselves and our families and how society should be structured. And in this one, she's questioning the very precepts of biology and how all of that works. So I highly recommend that one. Basically, all Vonnegut in the world. He was a huge influence on me. In my worldview, in my writing, in my general imagination, he figures large. Octavia Butler. Recently, I started reading George Saunders, and although his are more veering into speculative, that euphemism we use for science fiction now, speculative fiction. The 10th of December was a really excellent short story collection. Highly recommend that one.
So you've mentioned a lot of humorous science fiction, but in your science fiction stories that have appeared in the podcast, they've been real tearjerkers. I know I'm not the only listener who's cried. So you did mention Octavia Butler, which is really heavy-hitting and often depressing stuff. Where is that element of your writing coming from? Is there an influence for that, or is that just kind of how you are?
It's so funny because it's not, for the most part, the kind of fiction that I like to read. I like to read very snarky, sarcastic fiction, but somehow it just comes out of me that way. I think, too, it's just the time we are at historically and what I feel like is necessary to write right now might not be the funniest things. Or perhaps I just haven't reached the distance from these things. Like, there's this distance in Vonnegut. He had tons of pain in Vonnegut, but he's able to cope with it through this sort of distancing, humorous mechanism. And maybe I'm not there yet. Maybe give me another 20 years, and maybe I'll be cracking jokes about it.
You're one of the authors that's created the music for your own stories. What relationship does your music have with science fiction, and how do you feel that the two mediums complement each other?
So I feel like my music's relation isn't so much to science fiction specifically, but more to music as a way to support and to expand a story. I think music is sort of it can provide emphasis, it can provide a twist, it can say you have a very serious sounding narration, but then you put light music behind it, that would make it a different kind of story than if you went ahead and put dark, simple music behind it. So you can really shift the whole tone of a piece with your music. So I feel that the place of a soundtrack, be it in a podcast or in a movie, anywhere you find one, is to support narrative and support story. It's the seasoning, it's the frame where you decide, is this serious, is this comic? How do I feel about these characters? That's the music for me.
And more generally speaking, what are your feelings on the marriage of literature and music, and what do you see as the future for these mediums interacting?
Well, I think it's going to be a really exciting future because the places that we have opportunities to tell stories are expanding. It used to be the printed page was pretty much the only place unless you were telling a story in person. And now there's podcasts, there's audiobooks, there's video games are going to be a huge part of how we tell stories in the future. I think it's still a really beginning art form, and when we get more into virtual reality and into augmented reality, that's going to become even more important. Because of, like I said before, the music creates the frame. It creates how you receive that story.
And how do you think that science fiction literature has affected the direction of music, both popular and otherwise? Not just within video games, but in TV and records that are standalone, that aren't connected to fiction in any way.
So I think there's been a pretty cool reciprocal history between sci-fi and music, especially rock music and pop music. A lot of the big rock bands, the big stars who rose up in the 60s and 70s, these were kids who grew up with sci-fi comic books. And they got into drugs that are mind-expanding, and they got into fiction, which was mind-expanding. And so there are these parallel themes of exploration, be it mental exploration or literal exploration, like the space race and the moon landing and these things. And they fed back on each other. So you have something like David Bowie doing all these very space-themed songs and costumes, and then him actually starring in science fiction movies, and then his songs being used, like in the opening scene of Valerian, where Space Oddity is used to great effect. So there's this kind of reciprocal thing, and there's even been instances like it plays back into actual science, like the Blur song being taken on one of the Mars landers, I think the British Mars lander.
And when the space shuttles were still active, they would pick song as a wake-up song.
Oh, right.
And you could actually join a contest for their daily wake-up song. They did not like industrial music, incidentally. I tried. Earlier in the interview, you mentioned distance from subjects changing how we interact with them, whether we're dealing with tragedy, humor, or otherwise. So with that in mind, what do you see as themes that will become increasingly important in science fiction? And since you mentioned that distance, perhaps how our views of these things are going to change as we move forward?
Oh, good question. So I think first and foremost, what good science fiction does, and what I hope it does going into the future, is we test our assumptions. We use it the same way that science uses an experiment, and we test our assumptions to see where the flaws are, because those flaws will carry on down the line and create more and more problems for us if we don't correct them. If we don't correct things like our ecology or our treatment of people who are different from us. These things create bad assumptions, and they create conflicts and mistakes and waste of life and resources. And I hope that what science fiction will serve as is that place we can have the big conversations about what constitutes a good life, what constitutes what we're willing to sacrifice for things like safety and security, be it what kind of surveillance are we comfortable with to feel safe, what kind of population limits are we comfortable with, what will we sacrifice to keep reproducing at any cost. All these are questions that you can't really run lab experiments, because no ethics board is going to let you do that. So it's the place we go to ask the big ones. And they're getting bigger all the time, because the more power humans have, the more our answers matter.
I'm inclined to completely agree with you on that, but to me that also poses another question that I'd like to have you answer here. Do you think that science fiction has a social responsibility?
Yeah. Well, maybe not a responsibility. I don't think it's a responsibility any more than science has a social responsibility. It's more like an urge. It's more like I think it naturally, when it's doing what it's supposed to do, that's what it does. Of course we can have fun in science fiction, and I love fun science fiction. I am a massive Star Wars fan, and I don't think there's anything particularly socially useful about Star Wars. However, Star Trek has, from the beginning, confronted things that we needed to confront as a society. I think so, not so much as a responsibility in terms of a burden, as like, oh, I must write this story that will teach something good. I think it's more like, okay, I'm going to go look at the stuff that matters, rather than maybe just looking at the running and the explosions. I mean, I love running and explosions, but they need context.
And tell us a bit about your work outside of the podcast and any interesting upcoming projects this year.
So I have a little musical project called Less Bells, and it's kind of an orchestral electronic hybrid, and we're working on a new record. We're getting towards the end of that, so hopefully the end of the summer, this fall, we'll be finishing up the record, and we'll be performing in November at a festival out at the Palms called Perpetual Dune.
And where can we find Les Bells?
You can find Les Bells anywhere you find fine music, such as iTunes or Spotify or Bandcamp.
You just heard Simultaneous Times Supplementary Log, an interview with Julie Carpenter, with music by Dane Luscombe. Simultaneous Times is a monthly science fiction podcast going live on the 15th of each month. And now, Simultaneous Times Supplementary Log, interviews with the authors and musicians of the podcast, going live on the 1st of every month. Theme music by Dane Luscombe. Be sure to visit us at our bookstore in Joshua Tree, California, or at spacecowboybooks.com. And out now, Simultaneous Times Volume 1, paperback science fiction anthology, available on our website and on Lulu. Get in touch on Instagram and Twitter. We'd love to hear what you think of the show. And now a word from other fellow Joshua Tree podcasters.
Are you looking for a new way to think and transform? Tune into Myth Matters, a bi-weekly podcast of storytelling and conversation about mythology and why it's important to life today. Find a more creative way to live. Learn more at mythicmojo.com and keep the mystery in your life alive.
Have you ever wondered why people live in the desert? I'm Dawn Davis, and I host Desert Lady Diaries podcast. It's a weekly conversation with women who found their home in the Mojave Desert. Each week, I talk to women who were either born and raised in the desert or felt called to come here, and what the desert means to them. You can learn more about the podcast and listen at DesertLadyDiaries.com.
We live in a very weird place. A dry and mountainous land of poisonous creatures and desert monsters, missing tourists, and strange lights in the sky. Join us every Friday at 10 p.m. for a late-night voyage across the mysterious Mojave Wilderness on KCDZ 107.7.
Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.